Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel, found in Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This is God's word. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Yes, he does. Jesus, sinners doth receive. Problem is, the sinners don't always know that they're sinners, do they? That was the case with the Pharisees and those who were judging Jesus and his actions. They saw one class of people as sinners and considered themselves apart from it. They didn't see themselves as the lost as well. And when it says sinners here, it means the public sinners, the people who wear their sin on their sleeve because it's just known about them. Some of you, all of you, I'm sure, know people like that or perhaps have even been that person. That person is an adulterer, or that person is an alcoholic, or that person is a gambler, or that person did this or that, and they're known for what they did. They're the public sinners. That's who Jesus was with. The people that everyone knew were full of guilt. But it really applied to everyone, even if many who were lost didn't know it. So Jesus is the one who seeks to save the lost, to go after the sinner, to find them and pull them back to the brink. How many of you have heard of a TV preacher and teacher named Joyce Meyer? I know more of you know it. That was a raise your hand sort of question. So, yeah, Joyce Meyer. You've seen her on TV for sure. She's one of those TV preachers. Joel Osteen is the other one who's on there all the time that you see on TV. Joyce is probably number two after Joel. And she's been doing this for like 20-some years at least. And not many people know that before she became a big TV preacher and best-selling author and all these things, that Joyce Meyer was a Lutheran, a Missouri Synod Lutheran, in fact, just like us. And one time, she spoke about her background as an LCMS Lutheran in one of her teachings. This was on TV, and I'm sure you can find it on YouTube if you care enough to go look for it. She said in her southern Missouri drawl, she said, "All my life people told me I was a poor, miserable sinner. Well, let me tell you, I'm not poor, I'm not miserable, and I'm not a sinner." Woof. That's a tough one for us to swallow, isn't it? She's right. From what she was told, don't we say it? Every single week, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." You see, being a sinner is not just something you recognize at the beginning of your Christian walk. And then this is kind of the Joyce Meyer, a very modern way of thinking of what being a Christian is like. That we somehow start at the bottom of a mountain and our entire life is spent trying to climb that mountain and improve and become better. So what Joyce is saying is not that she has never sinned. What she is saying is that she's left that behind. She believes that if you do the right things, if you're faithful to God and put all your trust in Him, then you'll be healthy, wealthy, and happy. And if you're not, it's because you haven't let go of your sin and you haven't believed hard enough. Paul, on the other hand, writes in 1 Timothy, "Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." He doesn't say, I was a sinner, or I used to be a sinner, or I was a bad person when I did all those bad things. No, he says, I am foremost of sinners. The same St. Paul who visited churches around the ancient world, who proclaimed the gospel, who was threatened with death, and then finally did give his life for proclaiming Jesus Christ. That Jesus died for Paul. Paul was a sinner, even in that moment. He was always a sinner. Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, he talks about the sin that he does that he knows he should not do, or how he does not do the things that he should be doing. St. John in his first epistle talks about how we as Christians should confess our sins because God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you see, Joyce Meyer, yes, you are a sinner despite what you say. You are a poor, miserable sinner because the Word of God has revealed this. And even though you may think the Christian life is supposed to be like climbing a mountain and getting better and better and better, instead, Dr. Luther would remind us to look at the Christian life as a cycle that repeats itself over and over and over. And part of that cycle is repentance, confessing sin, being forgiven, turning away from your guilt and shame to live in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the lost. I'm the lost. And our Lord Jesus has gone out to find us and spared nothing to bring us back. Your sin might not be worn on the front of your shirt or on your face whenever you walk out in public, but you are a sinner nonetheless. A sinner for whom Jesus has gone out to find. A little story I'll share with you this morning about being lost and not knowing it. It has to do with, they don't know this is coming. It has to do with my kids. Paul's giving me the glare. Yeah, you're right, bud. It's about you. This was about 12 years ago, I think it was. We were living in Minnesota, and I'm guessing, Paul would have been about 5. Sophia would have been about a year old. Bella would have been 8-ish, I'm guessing. I was at home with just Paul and Sophia. Heather and Bella weren't there. And I don't remember the details, but I'm thinking Sophia must have been about a year old because she was in like her swing. Maybe not even a year yet. And we lived in a split level, so I was sitting in the living room upstairs doing something on my computer, and Paul, 5 years old, downstairs in his bedroom playing with something, playing a game or whatever he was doing at 5 years old. And after a while, I decided I should go check on Paul and find out where he was. So I went downstairs and I look in his room. I don't see him. So I check the closet. Maybe he's hiding on me. No. Sister's bedrooms. No. Kitchen. No. Garage. No. All over the house. No, no, no. I can't find him. And now I'm beginning to panic. I'm looking outside. I'm calling his name. I'm looking in the woods that were right behind our house. I'm peeking over to the neighbor's lot next door. I'm panicked at this point. I'm screaming at the top of my voice, tears coming out the corner of my eyes. Where's my son? I cannot find him. Paul, where are you? I go back inside. I go back down to his room. And you know this story has a happy ending because there he is. I go into his room and I notice a kind of odd-shaped lump under the blankets on his bed. And I pull back the covers, and there's Paul, blissfully asleep and blissfully unaware that I've been on the verge of tears calling out his name. He wasn't even being a stinker, like trying to hide from me. He had no idea that he was lost. Was he lost? Well, you might say no, because he was right where he was supposed to be. And yet for me, his father, he was lost. Should have known at that point that his inability to wake up would continue to this day. So, He was lost for me. And obviously, as a father, I would have gone to whatever length necessary to find him. Even though he didn't know he was lost, even though he believed he was right where he was supposed to be, and he was, but yet he was missing. That is only a glimpse of the tenacity to which God the Father will go to bring back one of his lost sheep, a lost child, to bring back you. What shepherd does not leave to go find the one that is lost, to go leaving the 99 to find the one and gather it back? Or a woman who's lost a coin sweeps through her house looking everywhere and does not rest until she has found it. There is no scenario in which God, your heavenly Father, stops loving you and does not seek you out to bring you, a sinner, back to him. What length did he go to? He sent his only son to die a bloody and brutal death on a cross to save you, lost sheep, lost coin, lost child that you are. Jesus eats with sinners. He makes his home with sinners. He shares a table with them. He is found where the sinners are found. Which is sad news for Joyce Meyer, who is, as she has declared, not a sinner. Which I suppose means leads us to believe that Jesus cannot be found in her church or in her ministry. Because Jesus eats with sinners. He dines with sinners. He goes where sinners are. And so this morning, we have gathered here in this place to admit, to confess, as we do week in, week out, yes, I am a poor, miserable sinner. I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And the word of God in Jesus Christ has forgiven us and removed our sin, as Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west. In our Old Testament reading from Micah chapter 7, it says about God, you cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. The only way in which you can say, I am not a sinner, is if Jesus Christ is the one who day in and day out removes your sin and throws it into the heart of the sea. In that sense, you are not a sinner. The sinners are sinless. The sinners are saints because they have been loved by the one who goes to look for them, by the one who pays whatever cost necessary to bring them back. And notice what Jesus says. When that lost sheep is found, when that lost coin is found, he says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, no one's going to mistake us here in the Lutheran Church for being a bunch of over-enthusiastic people, right? We're pretty low-key. Some people say we're stuffy, that we're all about dead religion. But let me tell you what's happened here this morning in this place, where sinners have come before the altar of God and have asked him in his holy, loving, forgiving nature to forgive them. He has forgiven them. And according to Jesus, there is more joy in heaven over repentant sinners than there could ever be over a perfect, holy person that has never sinned in their life. You've probably all had a moment where you've been moved, touched by a hymn, a song, a piece of music. It doesn't have to be sacred church music. Even secular music can do this. But it's a song that just feels like it touches you on the inside. It makes your, gives you goosebumps on your arms. The hair on the back of your neck stands up and just fills you with such joy. Let me tell you, dear friends in Christ, that there is no song that gives joy more than you before God saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. Because at the sound of those words, heaven breaks into song. The most glorious song we could ever imagine. In fact, we can't begin to imagine the way the angel choirs sing when sinners come before God, humbly kneeling before him saying, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you know what? He does. He goes to whatever length necessary for the sinner. He goes to whatever length for you. Dear friends in Jesus, you are sinners. I am a sinner as well. Jesus eats with the sinners. He's found where sinners are found, where sinners lay their guilt before his feet, and the blood from his cross washes over them and washes them away. Thanks be to God that we are counted among the sinners today, so that we may be counted among those washed and made new in the blood of Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.